This week, since we again, we always try to speak a little bit about the Parshios and Bereishis, and then we'll try to figure out, I guess, a bigger theme. I thought I'd speak a little bit about the concept of Emuna for a week or two. It's a big and important topic, deserves more than a week or two, but we'll see. Relationship, of course, between this one second. I think I have the wrong pages here. Okay. It doesn't make a difference. Yeah. The relationship between Abraham and Noach, of course, is a is one which, you know, is extremely challenging. Much has been written, you know, about it, and of course it's all novea from, you know, the Ramazim and the Psukim themselves. I mean, clearly Noach was worthy, and as such, he, you know, was the person who, in a way, redeemed the world, was able to secure the continuity of the world. The very first time that we encounter Noach, he's, you know, described in very laudatory terms, seemingly, right? Ela toldos Noach. Noach ish tzaddik, of course, everybody knows this. Tamim haya b'dorosav, esu elokim hisalech Noach. If there was no further scrutiny, certainly Noach would emerge as someone, you know, to be emulated in every way. And even after a scrutiny, Noach, of course, remains a very admired figure. At the same time, we also know that while the continuity of the world was secured by Noach, right, the you know, the aspiration of spirituality, you know, the model for religiosity, you know, is not Noach, but Avraham Avinu, and of course that is already hinted at, you know, in retrospect in the Psukim themselves. Tamim haya b'dorosav, yesh dor shemoso l'shevach, yesh dor shemoso l'gnai. Then of course, Chazal, with their magnifying glass, you know, everything that is said about Noach is compared, you know, to Avraham Avinu, and Es Elokim Hisalech Noach, but Uba Avraham Ho Amar Asher Hisalachti Lifanav, Noach Haya Tzorech Sad Latomcho, Avraham Haya Mischazek Umahalech Bitzidko Me'elav. So even the complimentary things that are said about Noach, like as being an ish tzaddik, bedorosa, etamim, all these, you know, in retrospect, that's the beauty of the Torah and its infinite depth. You know, that when you examine this more closely, and Chazal, of course, assist us in doing this, and then, you know, the different strata, just as in Halacha, so too in Parshanut and in Machshava. So the Mefarshim, you know, throughout the generations, found other distinctive, you know, applications, you know, and usages, which kind of reinforced many of these. So it's interesting to note that, you know, but again, we shouldn't lose sight of Noach's greatness. Just appears that, you know, it's more of a relative as opposed to an absolute kind of a thing, which is, not going into details, how I interpret Yeshomer Miyeshomerim, right? Even those people who are Doresh, you know, L'Shevach, as opposed to the ones who are Dorish L'Gnai, it's obvious, you know, that there is, you know, that downgrades, you know, Noach's spiritual profile, especially, you know, relative to Avraham Avinu. But even the ones who are Dorish, you know, L'Shevach, you know, don't think that he, you know, reaches the stature of Avraham Avinu. And the bigger point is that, you know, he's somebody, you know, who's whose character, whose religious character, is assessed in a relative, you know, kind of a way, whether it's relative negative or relative positive, as opposed to Avraham Avinu, as I say, who has more of a kind of an absolute, you know, standing. But as I say, once we start with this, the example of Rashi a second ago, Elokim Italech Noach, you know, there are other things that we note as well. In particular, of course, you know, the downfall of Noach in the end of the Parsha, and the aftermath of the Mabul, again, I always like to say that, you know, Noach is a survivor. You know, he secures continuity, but he can't build a new world. You know, he certainly can't rise to the occasion, you know, and give a vision, you know, to a new world. And, you know, while it's very interesting to note that the Torah several times, you know, speaks about the fact that Noach, you know, listens to the Rabbanu Shalom, but, you know, several times that we're told that, you know, that in response to Vayas Noach Kol Asher Sivahu Hashem, we have this about three different times, which again, you know, look as if, you know, that's complimentary, because he, you know, is following Tzivui Hashem, and of course that's a good thing. But you don't have parallel psukim with regard, mostly, you know, with regard to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is rarely, we told that, and he listened. So not because he didn't listen, but the impression is that, you know, that's obvious. Like, Avraham Avinu only had to be told. Avraham Avinu, in contrast to Noach, right, is not introduced with accolades. We don't really know in the text itself, you know, why he is chosen. There's no, you know, Ela Toldos Noach, Noach Ish Tzadik Tamim Hayabedarosav parallel, you know, to Avraham Avinu. Instead, you know, what we have with Avraham Avinu is, you know, his genealogy in the end of Parshas Noach, and the Mefarshim there do wonder how come, you know, his minui, if you will, you know, is never formalized, you know, and never explained. And then, of course, in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, you know, it's very matter of fact. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Lech Lecha, mi'aretzcha mi'latzcha beis avicha, el haaretz asher areka, v'ha'ischa l'goy gadol, v'avarecha, v'agad l'shemecha. You don't have at all, you know, what you have in the case of Noach, you know, and again, the accolades, the, you know, the designation, you know, the explanation. It's all just very matter of fact. You can wonder about that, you know, but of course, in light of the whole story, you know, especially Sofo, you know, Mochiach al Tchilaso, you know, the final Nisayon, if that is the final Nisayon of the Akedah, Atayadati Kirelu Kimata Avram Ohavi, you know, it seems that, you know, the point is that it's just who Avram Avinu is. It's not any particular act, you know, that he did. You know, saying that he's a tzaddik is kind of beside the point. You know, he is more than a tzaddik. And therefore, you know, simply the fact that he could be the recipient, you know, of such a complex and ambitious, you know, Tzivui Hashem, Lech Lecha Me'artzcha Me'latetcha Me'beis Avicha El Ha'aretz Asher Areka, followed by the promise of Vo'escha L'goy Gadol V'avarechecha, that kind of speaks volumes, you know, of who he is. Again, spoken in the past about, you know, the fact that two primary episodes in the life of Avraham Avinu, which could have served, you know, as the qualifying, you know, factors, you know, in terms of his inimitable, you know, impact and status and stature. You know, the story with the Kivshan Ha'esh, which is only hinted at in the Torah, you know, Ur Kasdim, and developed by Chazal. And, of course, the odyssey to discover the Rabbanu Shel Olam, you know, which, you know, in addition to being like just a fascinating window, you know, from a philosophic and from a theological point of view, but, you know, how could that, you know, kind of been ignored, you know, in terms of qualifying, you know, Avraham Avinu? The details, you know, the age, you know, the, you know, which philosophic argument, or was it any philosophic argument, or was it, you know, his you know, his instinct, his spiritual instinct, some other, like, what was it? All that is, of course, omitted in the Torah. That's very, very striking, intentional, deliberate omission, clearly. So the effect in the case of Avraham Avinu, in contrast to Noach, is that like Noach, you know, you need an explanation and you need to be able to focus on specific actions that he's done, needs to get congratulated, you know, for those actions two or three times. Vayas, you know, Kasher Tziva Hashem Oso. In addition to the Melamed Shaloshina type idea, but in the end of the day, Avraham Avinu, you know, especially once, you know, we delve into, you know, his personality and his history and his impact and so on, so it would kind of be misleading, and maybe even, it's my suggestion, it would be misleading and maybe even trivializing, you know, to zero in on something specific, you know, that qualified him. You know, because his great, great powers as a theologian or a philosopher, or maybe his unquenched, you know, thirst for, you know, spirituality, even better, you know, that drove him, you know, to, against, you know, the currents of his time, you know, to seek out the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's certainly consistent with, you know, an important building block of, you know, but it's not the whole story, you know, of Avraham Avinu. You know, it doesn't embody Avraham Avinu the Amud HaChesed, and it doesn't even fully, perhaps, or alone, certain versions of it don't even establish, you know, Avraham Ohavi, or Avram the Yorei Elokim, or Avram the Ma'amin, who I want to speak about, you know, a little bit more in a minute. What does embody that, right, are the facts of his life. Lech lecha me'artzecha mi'malatetecha mi'beis avicha ela aretz asher arecha. The fact that, you know, he is somebody who would be willing, you know, to divorce himself, you know, to turn his back on not just, you know, his family, you know, his comfortable, you know, venue of upbringing. But as I've said in the past, the double lech lecha here is a cultural, you know, turn, you know, which is a far greater challenge and significance. Right? He's being told, you know, to seek out a very different destiny, not just to build a teva and to survive, right, but to undertake a lifelong quest that is visionary, you know, and that is different. You know, I always like to point out that the Rambam begins Perakei Hilchos Yisori HaTorah by speaking to all of Klal Yisrael, Kol Beis Yisrael Metzuvim Al Kiddush Hashem. The entire Perak of Perakei Hilchos Yisori HaTorah is dedicated to the Dinim of Kiddush Hashem. But it's in the last halacha where he speaks to Talmidei Chachamim, or of Talmidei Chachamim. You know, in the beginning of the parak, and most of the parak, he speaks about the dinim of Yaharig Vayavar, right, the ability to, you know, to rise to the occasion, you know, in a tragic, you know, calamitous, you know, choice that people need to make. Yaharig Vayavar, Yavar Vayaharig. But the last halacha speaks about, you know, the persistent daily challenge of being consistent, you know, and being a spiritually focused individual. You know, shehei, you know, devarav benachas im abrios, he pays his bills on time, being a walking kiddush Hashem, being somebody, you know, who engenders, you know, avas Hashem. Shehei shem shamayim misahe v'yadecha. The Gemara is in Yuma that talk about that principle of being somebody whose conduct, you know, is an advertisement for, and therefore an inspiration for, Avas Hashem. You know, the Rambam doesn't quote that pasuk, but he quotes though that phenomenon, you know, in the very end of Parakei, when he's speaking about Talmidei Chachamim. Right. He's not saying that only Talmidei Chachamim have that obligation. He's saying, you know, I think the takeaway is, you know, quite contrary to, you know, what people might expect, the ability to arise dramatically, to an occasion, anybody can accomplish. It's a huge achievement, don't get me wrong. You know, it's incredibly, admirable. I'm not saying everybody does, but everybody can muster, for a time, and for a particular cause, that kind of courage and that kind of conviction. But the ability, day in, day out, the ability to do those things and to do, Shehe Benachasim Abrios, and to be spreading the word of the Ribbono Shalom, as the, Borei Shamayim Va'aretz, which of course is the Avram Avinu paradigm, HaNefesh Asher Osa B'Charon, Asher Osa B'Charon, that is something that, requires a lot more tenacity, a lot more effort, and a lot more, frankly, conviction. So, the contrast, which on the surface, is not just striking, but seemingly problematic, like, Noach is chosen because he's a tzaddik and Avraham Avinu is kind of just there. But when we look at the bigger picture, that's not the case at all. It's exactly the opposite. And, the fact, as the Medrash notes, that, the Lech Lecham Yaretz Chom Elad Tchom Beis Avicha, both in cadence and in language, is repeated in the context of the Akedah, Lech Lecha Al Har HaMoriah. And again, it's almost like the same cadences. And Chazal say, which Lech Lecha was greater, all of that. Highlights further, as does the whole life of Avraham Avinu, Vayhi Achar Dvar Ma'ila, Vayhi Achar Dvar Ma'ila. He goes from, challenge to challenge to challenge. He's the one with all the nisyonos. But these challenges are not the same. They're not the same type of challenges at all. Right? It's the range of Avraham Avinu and the consistency. And, it's the ability to integrate, those big charismatic moments with the more private and smaller, but equally challenging ones that require, his tremendous Herculean kind of devotion that define, right, who, Avraham Avinu is. But that's why Avraham Avinu is the Av Hamon Goyim, and as I say, he's the one who, reshapes, and gives content to, like, a different kind of vision, for the world, while Noach, is just far, far more limited. There's a great appreciation for Noach. Too many people, I think, bash, poor Noach. In the end of the day, he, he deserves a lot of credit. He's a hero, and he's a role model. But once you have Avraham Avinu, the stature of Noach, in retrospect, and that's when you pore over those psukim again, it was revealed to be, if not flawed, at least more limited, more, narrow. And for that reason, even though Noach's bravery and his courage, he goes into the Teva, Be'etzem Ayom Azeh, and Rashi quoting the Medrash, point out that that was heroic because the people, threatened, the Mabul people, and they meant business because it's not like they were a very moral group, that they would tear them to pieces if they went into the Teva. But he went, Be'etzem Ayom Azeh. Chazal emphasized this is a victory of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Divrei Mi Yakum. We'll see, who dictates. But of course, it's also a tremendous accolade, for Noah. So again, even as we have great appreciation for Avraham Avinu, and it is at the relative expense of the relativist Noah, there are many things about Noah, that deserve our appreciation. Not the way that he ends up, and that isn't a coincidence, but certainly along the way. So it's also interesting as part of this, contrast that, Chazal, tell us, commenting again on the pasuk that, that Noach entered the Teva, right, Mipnei Mehamabul, that one of the things that Chazal tell us is that Noach haya, you know, miktane emuna. Right, on the one hand, he went be'etzam hayom hazeh into the teva, you know, but, you know, mamin, like v'eino mamin, right? He believed and he didn't believe, you know, at the same time. Or he had stekos, is another way to say it. And therefore, you know, took a little bit of encouragement, you know, for him to actually turn his back on that society and, you know, and enter, you know, into the mabul. So if this is where Chazal, of course, weigh in on the question, you know, of his emuna. And again, you know, he was a mamin, clearly. And he's deserving of, you can't be a tzaddik if you're not a mamin. And he deserves a lot of credit. But at the end of the day, his emuna, let's say, you know, is incomplete. And of course, that is intended to contrast very sharply, you know, with what we're told, you know, about Avram Avinu in Perek Tezvav. What is it? Pasuk Vav, which is the first time that the Torah speaks or uses the expression of Emunah. We're told that Vayomer Avram, I'm sorry, that after the story of the four and the five kings, another Achara Dvar Mo'ela, again, every, you know, as different as the episodes are, you know, for Avraham Avinu, it's always Achara Dvar Ma'ela, on to the next challenge, and the range is part of the story. Hayad Dvar Hashem, El Avram, B'machaz El Omer, Alti Ravram, Anochi Mogen Lach, Zchor Chahar Ben Ba'od, Vayomer Avram, right, Hashem Elokim, Mati Tainli, Vanochi Alech Hariri, Ben Mesek, Besi, Hu, the Mesek Eliezer, Vayomer Avram, Hein Li, Lo Nasata Zara, Hein Ben Besi, Yoresh Osi, right, Vinei Dvar Hashem Elav Lemor, Lo Yirash Chazek, Ki Yim Asher Yetzei Bimeyacha, Hu Yirashecha. Vayotze Aso Chutza, Vayomer, Habino Hashemayma, Usfar Kochavim, Tuchal Uspar Osam, Vayomer Lo, Ko Mie Zarecha. And then what the Torah tells us, Vehem Min Ba Hashem, Vayach Shiveha, Lo Tzedakah. Of course, that is a pivotal, you know, pasuk. This is the reference, first reference to emuna. We don't have a reference of emuna when it comes to Adam HaRishon. You don't have it certainly regarding Noach. Chazal again, you know, even temper, you know, what appears to be, you know, impressive acts of emuna. Instead, you have it appropriately, you know, with regard to Avram Avinu. He's the first, let's say, idealistic or ideal or complete, you know, mamin, you know, in history, or apparently. Then min b'Hashem, and of course the second part of the pasuk is part of the challenge. Like, what does that mean? Even just reading and translating this pasuk is difficult. Vehem min b'Hashem v'yachsheveha lo tzedakah. Like, what is that? And there are different views in Chazal, which we'll get to in just a minute. So, the idea that Avram Avinu's emuna, you know, is established for the first time, the first, you know, establishment of this principle, is very understandable. Other, you know, midos are also associated, you know, only with Avram Avinu for the first time. Let's say Yiras Elokim, Avraham Ohavi, Avas Hashem. All of this is appropriate for the father of monotheism and the father of the Jewish people. But again, it's very striking that, you know, his odyssey of faith isn't what gave him, you know, this, you know, this title, Vehemin Bashem Vayachavelo Tzedakah. It's strikingly the fact that he accepted, notwithstanding, you know, his present, you know, status as Ariri, you know, that that he would, you know, have a natural family, you know, that Yitzchak would be born, and that Klal Yisrael of the future, Tuchal Isbar Osam, Ko Yeh Zarecha. Now, the truth is that, you know, it's always, one would think, not so difficult to believe in an optimistic prognostication. You know, why is that? You know, the foundation, or what let's say, you know, cements, you know, his status, you know, in terms of emuna. And what's the vayak shevelo tzedaka? But even earlier, as I say, the status of Avram Avinu is hinted at, you know, by the things that the Torah doesn't say. There's no vayas kasha tziva Hashem, vayas kasha tziva Hashem. You don't need that drum roll. You don't have the introduction. You know, you just have, you know, these deeply impressive tzivuyim, you know, which upon much further reflection highlight, you know, the depth and the breadth, unprecedented depth and breadth of his conviction. So there's a very interesting Orach Chaim also, just to get on the record before I get back to Ve'emin B'Hashem Shavei Tzedaka, that the Orach Chaim points out on Vayomer Hashem El Avram that Avram Avinu, you know, is different, or this description of Avram Avinu is different from other nevuos, you know, in the Torah. Other nevuos, it's always Vayera Elav Hashem, and then Vayomer. And that when it comes to Avram Avinu, you know, you go straight to the tzivui and to the dibor, you know, without any of the preliminary, you know, appearance or presence, which presumably is what cements, right, the belief, you know, in the relationship and so on. So the Orach Chaim has this ta'ara. He says, "Tam shediber elav Hashem kodem hera'oslo, mashalo asachem b'chala nivraim, beis ta'amim badavar. Olios shehu alav ha'shalom, nishdadel ba'akaraz boro, mashalo asa adam zulaso." This, you know, reflects the fact that Avram Avinu had already invested. He initiated, you know, the search for the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? And then he has here Ben Chamesh, and I think they, of course, the Medrash Rabbah has, you know, different views how old he was. He was 3, he was 48. The Rambam, of course, in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and then the Ravid. The Rambam implies that, you know, it was like a dual, you know, pursuit of the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, one at a very young age, and the other very precocious, you know, Avram Avinu, and the other at a more, you know, let's say mature age. Either way, that part doesn't really concern us at the moment, although it is very fascinating. But what the Orach Chaim is saying is that, you know, Avram Avinu didn't need, you know, the any kind of physical presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, to recognize and respond to Tzivui Hashem. Then, whatever it is, Shanim, he kiras baro me'atzmo behitchach muso, lezeh lehutzoch li galos elav, ela amre elav dibrosav, ukvar hukar etzlo hamadaber. So even the very first Tzivui reflects a certain level of emuna and hakara. O Afshar, Kiliosa Adam Rishon Bikidusha Sharba Sara Dora Shekidmu, Lohaya Adam Shehiker Elokuso, the Dibarito Elokim, the Zen Noagashemimo Beseder Zashlohera Shkinaso I love, Ad Shebacha Noso, Imikayim Gzerosav, Velacha Shekim Dvara, Vahala Chelarzo, Oz Nigap, although that's not formulated that way in the Torah, not unlike Noach, Vayas Kashatziva, then Oz Nigla I love, Dichsiv in Pasuk Zayin Vayira Hashem El Avram. Ma Sheinkein Sharon Aviim Shekvar Kidma V'Nishtaka Amuna Beliba MiAvram V'Hushreshu BeKedusha. Right? Haya Nigla Lahem Tchila Seomad MeAvos UMoshe B'Sne. So the Orach Chaim in a way says two opposite things, you know, each of which underscores, you know, the greatness and uniqueness, you know, of Avram Avinu, his initiative and his impact. One is he didn't need, you know, any kind of physical presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam because he, you know, was already attuned and was already you know, initiated, you know, by virtue of his own initiative to find Hashem, Hakaras Hashem, and that he was unique in the world. And secondly, the fact that, you know, he was operating in a total vacuum, right? There had been 10 generations, you know, in which the concept of Metzius Hashem had been absent from the world. You know, and therefore, in the absence, let's say, of a framework or a context where there is some sort of a concept of Emuna, right? There was no Hashras Hashchina, you know, like he had to earn the Hashras Hashchina, you know, through his response to the Tzivui. But this is the part that the parallel after the opposite, you know, everything that followed was in the aftermath of Avram Avinu, who was responsible for Nishtakeya Ha'emuna Belibam, Vihushrishu Bikdusha. So, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, all the, of course, the previous, the other Avos, and so on and so forth, all benefit, you know, from the initiative and from the, you know, from the unique, you know, capacity of Avraham Avinu to recognize transcendence, you know, in the world. It says, and that's the pshat also why in Tehillim, you know, we talk about Shim'i Bas, he says that's the pshat of that as well, that that the idea of Shmia, which precedes Re'ia, Shim'i Bas U'Re'i, is the chiddush of Avram Avinu. I always thought you could also add to that, you know, the fact that in Maimid Har Sinai, you know, we're talking about Klal Yisrael being Roim, you know, Sakolos. So aside from the fact that that implies kind of, you know, it wasn't a normal physical experience, obviously, all the senses were, you know, discombobulated and mixed up. They were, you know, kind of calibrated, you know, at the moment of Maimed Har Sinai, but you know, this idea, you know, again, you know, the Ibn Ezra famously explains that, you know, the reason that the Rabbanu Shalom appeared Anoch Hashem Elokecha Asher Otzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim and not Mibriyasa Olam, question that that the Rishonim deal with, that the Ibn Ezra talks about and quotes Rabbi Yudah Levi and so on, in a Domesh Shmia, you know, L'Re'iya. So they quote Yetzias Mitzrayim because that Klal Yisrael actually physically, like, experienced that. But it's interesting that nonetheless it's Kolam Roim, you know, as a Kolos. That it was the Kolos, you know, first, and you know that created, you know, the Re'iya, very much in the pattern, let's say, you know, of Avram Avinu, which the Or HaChaim sees as an expression of his Emuna, kind of, and his being particularly attuned, right, to the presence of the Rebbeinu. He didn't need the Re'iya, and, you know, he, you know, in a double meaning, right, he didn't need it for his faith, and he didn't need it because he was attuned. Anyways, so the point is that there are aspects of Avram Avinu and his unique stature of Emuna that are hinted at already, according to the Mefarshim, in the very, very beginning of our encounter with it. So it's not surprising that in Perek Tes Vav, you know, Pasuk Vav, that he is the first person also, you know, to be described in terms of Vehemin Ba'ashem Vayach Sheveh Holo Tzedakah. I'm going to have to stop and I'll have to continue with this. But what does it mean? I mean, what is the, why this context? As I say, he's getting good news, not calamitous news, not being asked in this case, you know, to take some giant leap of faith in terms of his actions, you know, like he is in the unrecorded, you know, episodes, you know, of the Kivshon Ha'esh, etc. Right here he's being told good tidings, Soros Tovos. So the optimism, you know, of believing that is really such a, deserves such an accolade, you know, Bayach Sheveh Lo Tzedakah. I think the answer is that what we see in this context, Avraham Avinu as the paradigm of Emuna, first, you know, reference in the Torah, and the context, precisely because it seems, you know, either superfluous or anticlimactic, you know, given the possibility of expressing the principle of Emuna, you know, in other previous episodes and contexts. But I think what it does is it underscores, you know, that Emuna, especially maximalist Emuna, right, is something that transcends belief. It's not certainly just intellectual, and it's certainly not, you know, narrow. And I think that can be demonstrated. That we'll have to continue with this next week. That the Hemin Bashem in this context and in general in the life of Avraham Avinu is connected, I think, also, again, a lot of people have connected it with the language of Amen, MS, what the relationship is between those three terms. But I think also another term, and that is the Ne'eman, the idea of loyalty and commitment. And the idea that there's a relationship between, you know, what you intellectually and emotionally accept or know, and the way in which you live your life. In other words, the programmatic, let's say, implications of Emuna. And that idea of nemanut, of loyalty and consistency, right, to a certain ideology, you know, at the core of which is Mitzius Hashem, that is what characterizes Avraham Avinu. And I think it's the fact that all of this, you know, the Hemin Bashem wasn't just, you know, Ki Masha Yetze Mimeacha Hu Yirashecha. That itself would be, you know, obviously incredible tidings, and maybe even, you know, accepting a miracle, you know, especially if, according to nature, Avram and Sarah really shouldn't have been able at that point, you know, to produce children. But I think the Hemin Bashem is dafka on, you know, the rest of it. Vayotze osa achutza vayomer habet no ha-shamaymo svara kochavim imtucha lisparosam vayomer la ko yezarecha. It's the idea that he won't see this in his lifetime. It's, you know, a far, far, far off, you know, future, you know, which again is, you know, great news if it's true. But the ability to believe in something when you know you'll never get verification, that is so incredible, and that is associated, you know, the kochavim in the skies, obviously, it's not just the quantity. Right, it's the implication, you know, of the kind of nation, you know, that he would produce. The ability to believe that, like, deeply, you know, with a sense of certainty, when you know that in your lifetime, by definition, there won't be verification, right, that is a whole different level, not just quantitatively of Emuna. That's the idea of Emuna in the sense of commitment, loyalty. The Sfarnu al Atar, you know, again, because all the Mepharshim are troubled. Let me say it this way. When Rashi says, and with this I will conclude, then min bashem lo shah lo osal zos. Okay, fine. Vayachshaveh lo tzedakah, Kodesh Baruch Hu chashav al Avram, l'schus l'tzedakah, says Rashi, that's his take, alo amuna shehem in bo. Says the Ramban, like, why? He quotes this. Ve'ini mevin ma'aschus hazos. Lama lo yamin belokei amein. Pasuk in Yeshaya. V'hu ha'navi ba'atzmo. Lo ish keel v'chazev. Ramban says, like, what? He's getting, you know, extra credit because he believes the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Why shouldn't he? He's a Navi. He's already had experience with the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Of course he should believe the Nevuah. Right? And so on. the Maral, the Sifsei Chachamim, a lot of the Mefarshei Rashi are troubled by this. Like, he gets credit for his emuna. Other Mefarshim, for that reason, including the Ramban and the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, have very different interpretations of Vayechshev Elo Tzedakah. So, just to conclude, I think that the approach, which I want to develop next time more, is that if we were talking about emuna in the narrow sense, like, I believe it, you know, then the Ramban is right. And then the other questions, you know, surface as well, like, why dafka this parsha, and so on and so forth, from all the other things. But if the idea is that emuna itself is really, you know, on the depth level, that it translates into a program for life, and into a kind of, you know, tenacious loyalty, as it redefines your reality. It's like a surrender of, you know, your derech hachashiva, very much like in the Akedah, then perhaps we can understand that dafka is something that is so far off, and, you know, where, you know, the promise is so grandiose, the ability to believe that, and as the Sfarnu says, he doesn't say the rest of it, belisa fake, you know, not just, oh, I believe you, you know, but like to really believe it, that really highlights a different perspective on what emuna is. And that is certainly one of the important differences between Noach. For sure Noach was a ma'amin, you know, but in addition to being ma'amin velo ma'amin, even his ma'amin part was probably narrower. It was about specific promises, and it was abstract belief, you know, and he also was somebody who, you know, at least to a certain point, followed, you know, directives. And that's why he gets, you know, the half accolade, you know, Ayas, you know, Kasher Tziva Hashem. But the Amunah of Avram Avinu, as I say, is a whole different qualitative barrier. There you don't need Vayas Kasher Tziva Hashem. It's part of the Amunah itself, because it isn't narrow and it isn't abstract, and it's connected right to the total persona and to the vision, you know, that Avram Avinu accepted and dedicated his life to disseminating. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll maybe elaborate next time.